Sort of enjoyed seeing Brother Bert have to do that this morning. Done a good job, but kind of miscued Sister Erica there. She may not forgive him. Good to see everyone this morning. I say it all the time, but preachers hate two kinds of weather, good weather and bad weather. It's either too good to come or too bad to come. Some use it probably for an excuse this morning, because it looks like summertime's starting early, don't it? Anyway, I'm glad you're here. Open your Bible to the book of 2 John. I actually finished it off last week pretty much, but I'm going to go back to a couple of verses here on the end of it. Here at Landmark, we, in Sunday school, here in the adult class, we teach the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So if you bring your Bible, you're complete. We don't have another folder for you to have necessarily or anything like that. But one thing about looking at the Bible, you'll come near remembering it. And then, of course, you're looking at the highest authority there is. That's God's Word. If somebody tells you something, a good thing to consider is, what authority are they going on? We live in a day of time when information is everywhere. It's sold. It's propagated online. And folks, it might have took you a long time after you begin to discover how to pull it off your little phone. Everything that comes online is not truth. I hope you know that. It's amazing that the devil is able to use technology to deceive people, and he really does that. God can use it to communicate the truth. So it's like the piano there. It can be played in the honky-tonk or in the church. Depends on what we do with it. And truth is that if you don't have the right authority, that's your foundation. You hear me say it over and over again. You got to test everything by the Word of God. It's okay to listen to it, understand it, but oftentimes the Holy Spirit will run a red flag up. That means stop, look, and listen. Go back and check it out. Go back to the foundation. Go back to the truth. And the truth is the Word of God. We're going to dwell with that just a little bit because we were finishing up here on 2 John. We studied, of course, the book of Revelation God gave to John on the Isle of Patmos. Long time back, we went through the gospel according to John. And, of course, he also wrote the 1st and 2nd John and 3rd John. And so we're going to go to 3rd John next week. And you say, well, what are we going to do with John after that? I don't know. We might go back somewhere and read it again. Amen. I do recommend for new converts, for folks that are just saved, don't know much about the Bible, to read a lot in John, because John is plain. He gets right down to it. And, of course, you get into deeper truths later, but none of them contradict anything John has said or written. And so he was one of the last, perhaps, to get a revelation from God, which is what we call the book of Revelation. And John was unique. He started out probably as a teenager, as a disciple, following the Lord with the original 12. They martyred all the other disciples and tried to martyr John, but God preserved him. He had a final task for him. Probably in his 90s, he wrote the book of Revelation as God gave it to him on the Isle of Patmos. So God had a special reason for preserving him, I believe. Now, he wrote Revelation last, so he didn't have it here in 1st and 2nd John, but he wrote these two letters to the church, to save people, to the church family, and encouragement to us, but he was also writing kind of as an insider. How many of you know there's a wall, there's a barrier between the lost and the saved when it comes to understanding? Did you note that when you first got born again? I was as close to Dad and Mom as most kids could be. But when I got saved, I noticed a wall come up. Amen. They didn't plan it. I didn't plan it. It was just there. And I made it a tremendous amount of prayer because I recognized it. And when they got saved, that wall was torn apart. We were back on a level with each other, but thank God on a spiritual level too. I don't think that nobody could have loved us kids any more than Mom and Dad did. But that love was even made, what the Bible speaks of as made perfect, when we got saved and when the family got saved. And go two blocks out the door there, you go over to the hospital where, cemetery, where they took them from the hospital to the cemetery and where they were buried. Of course, my brother and others too, but they're not there. They're with the Lord. And that's the peace and victory that you have when your family gets saved and the closeness that you have with them. And we think on all that. Now I want to move back through some of the final verses. We were warned here in 2 John that there'd be deceivers coming. That's in verse 7, saying that, of course, Jesus is not who he is, the Son of God. And John even says this is a deceiver and an antichrist, those that would teach that Christ is not who he was, the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh. And then he says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, we normally think about, and I dealt with the judgment seat last night, the Christian going to the judgment seat, receiving reward or losing reward, depending on how he's lived after he's been saved. And that's a wonderful truth you ought to know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But also, there's a warning we need to heed here too, that we not lose the truth that we have received. The wonderful thing is that God wrote a book and that truth's in the book. Somebody said, well, I'm saved, why do I need the Bible? You need to keep being refreshed over and over and over, just like you need a cool drink of water every day. You need the Word of God every day. And Brother Bradley did a good job on that, talking to us about being personally in the book on Wednesday night. Now, I want to pick up on one word here in verse 9. It's mentioned about three times here in these verses. Verse 9, he says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? What he just said, doctrine of the Father and the Son, doctrine of Jesus. If he brings not this doctrine, receive him not into your homes, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, folks, when heretics come to your door, and it don't have to be they knock on your door, it may be on the job, it may be in the family sometime, it may be a neighbor, acquaintance somewhere, you are not obligated to pretend to agree with everything that's wrong. Sometimes folks will think, well, I said that to you and you didn't say no, so you must agree with it. Be careful that they don't make that assumption with you when you know it's wrong. I remember a newspaper reporter coming one time in my office, and I don't know, I just turned, I don't know what, 60 or what, I'd been here a while. And they said, well, looking back on your ministry, what would you do different? And I was trying to basically get rid of them. But I said, well, one thing I'd do is I'd say no more. And that kind of shocked them a little bit, because they expect a minister to be Gentile and sweet all the time. Nobody's that way all the time. Amen. And I wasn't that day. So I kind of was kind of getting rid of them, and I said that. And it kind of shocked them a little bit. What do you mean? I said, I've got in more trouble saying yes than I have saying no. And that is the truth. So if somebody's talking heresy to you, if you can't say nothing, shake your head. Say, no, I'm just going to stick with the Bible. I'll stick with the Word of God. Amen. Let me talk to you. The word doctrine here, you find it several times in the Bible, of course. But the word doctrine here is talking about the truths of the Word of God, the truth God has given us, what we believe, what we teach. And so we're told to stay with it. Now, do you know what's happening today? Even in good churches, doctrine's being lost. Truth is being lost. Deception's coming in from every hand. And it especially comes in on the line, on that little thing you hold in your hand, you're addicted to. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, you better check whatever it comes in on it by the Word of God. This is the one that you can count on, for sure. Measure it by the Word of God. Now, talking about doctrine, there's basic truth. I have folks, even to this day and through my ministry, I'd have folks come to me with something they heard, whether they heard it online or wherever they heard it. And they would ask me something, and it would reveal to me, you ought to know better than that. It revealed to me, you're not absorbing the doctrine which would fence you in to the truth. And if you don't study it, you will be deceived. The devil's job is to deceive you. And he uses people, of course, to do that. Even here in these, I believe we're in the last days. I got a lot of reason to believe that. I preached to you a little bit last Sunday morning. Anybody remember? I asked you if you were prepared for World War III. Anybody remember that? My, you didn't like to hear that, but want you to think a little bit. Just here it is Sunday again from last Sunday. What happened this week? Did you pay any attention to what happened this week? Do you know we're right now in an exchange shooting rockets back and forth with Persia? You say Iran, that's Persia. That's Ezekiel 36 through 38. We are building very quickly. Now, nobody wants World War III. Yeah, there's a crowd that does. There's a crowd, even in America, in some of our high circles, there's a crowd that's stupid enough to think that's a good thing. It's not. It's not. If you want to know where war comes from, you read James about chapter 4, and it says it comes from our lust. It's come from our fallen nature. You lust and you have not. You war, it says. War, that's where it comes from. One of the saddest truths to get a hold of, that's one of the biggest things in the depravity of man when he fell in the garden to start with, he became capable of being evil and doing harm to his fellow man. You ever hear the statement, man's inhumanity to man? We see it all the time, don't we? All you gotta do is turn on the TV and watch the crime in Chicago. The evil of pushing a kid off in front of a train, letting him be run over. Or slipping up behind somebody in a wheelchair and hitting them in the head. Have you seen that on your TV? Sure you have. All you gotta do is show it to you anytime. You say, what beast could do that? A fallen human being, depraved human being. Oh yeah, in fact, capable more than the worst beast you could think of. They say only a polar bear will hunt you down and kill you and eat you, but most other wild animals basically run from man, basically. But man plots and deceives, tricks to do harm to his fellow man. Isn't that amazing? That's the depth of our depravity, our nature, sin nature that we've inherited. Now, here in the church, this letter's to the church, to the elect lady here at the church, and he's talking it to us as insiders, and he tells us to stay with the doctrine. Now, there's a number of verses that you could go to in the Bible. Looking at it, go with me, turn back to your left to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and pick it up in verse 16. And we're admonished not only by John here, but we're admonished, of course, by Paul and all the writers, basically, one way or the other. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at it with me in verse 16. I believe I'm thinking right. Did I get it right? Okay. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, the truth. For reproof. Truth reproofs error. Did you know that? For correction, for the instruction in righteousness. Now, the word doctrine shows up here. I won't run some other references, but you could. You could go to 2 Timothy 4:3. Maybe we're so close. Let's just go ahead and look at it. Verse 3 here. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Boy, we're in that day. Not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, their own desires, in other words, own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me something good about myself, whether it's a lie or not. Come up and say, boy, you're looking good today. And you wonder if under their breath they're saying, boy, I wonder what, he's sick or something. Amen. Right? We human beings, we walk up and shake hands and say, how you doing? Aren't you glad nobody stops and tells you? All right, I'm playing with you some now. We all know that. We all know that. But it's talking here about the time they'll not endure the truth, having itching ears. They want to hear something good about themselves. Now, we moved, and I think Brother Morgan, you and so many others out here would know this to be true here in the last few years. And even get worse, I've never heard so much deception going on concerning true doctrine. Doctrine that certainly among Baptist churches was held to be the solid road, the solid truth, years and years, now being questioned. And there's some groups that's getting notoriety or building them a crowd online, and their whole desire is to take something that the Bible has taught, Baptists have preached for years, and pervert it now. One thing about, it's good and bad about the fact you can, like right now I'm on the radio and I don't know where it's going. They may be listening to me on the mission field somewhere. All that's good. But at the same time, if I was spewing error, it'd be going the same place. So a heretic, so to speak, can get on and spread the garbage that he could not spread a few years ago. So we live in a time we better be warned. And true doctrine is being attacked today. Some groups have even got their popularity over the fact anything the Baptist church preaches, we're going to show you it's wrong. Of course, they're wrong. God's heritage through the years, he's blessed his truth. And that's for sure. I say that to just say this. Here in the last, 2 years, 3 years, some of the solid, accepted, biblical truth has been under attack like never before. Once you get saved and you come to a church like this enough, you'll soon learn the skeleton of the Bible. Every more you hear it, the more it's fleshed out. But you'll have the basic outline of the Word of God. You ought to have enough, if you've been saved very long, to realize when somebody is bringing in something that don't fit. That's not right. For instance, political issues today. I don't even like to call it political. I like to say the warfare is between right and wrong, good and evil, immorality and what is moral and pure. That's what the war is. And today everything's being perverted. We live in a perverted age now, everywhere. There's solid truths. Let me just cut to the, for time's sake, to the where the tire meets the road here. How many of you have a Scofield Reference Bible? Would you raise your hand? I recommend them. I've given away a lot of them. They're study Bibles. No, the notes are not inspired. They are scholars that have written the notes. So every note in a Scofield Bible is not perfectly right. But as a whole, it'll teach you the basic truth of the Bible accurately. It takes what is called the premillennial view. I'm going to explain this. Don't need to explain it, I'm sure, to hardly anybody, but let me say this. The premillennial view of the Bible, there's two other views. There's the postmillennial view, and there's the amillennial view. Now, you, if it was not college, you'd have to take a test on this. But anyway, we take the premillennial view. Baptist churches have down through the years. Scofield's Notes takes the premillennial view. And while little details here or there, we're not 100% sure, but we know the basic line. We know where we're going. What are we expecting next? We're expecting the trumpet to sound, the rapture to call us out. Following the rapture, there'll be the 7-year tribulation period for the Jews. Following that, Jesus will come back leading the armies of heaven, put down the armies of the world, and set up his own kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Often we call it the kingdom age. Following that, we basically just cover it all by saying eternity, with the white throne judgment finally coming and all that. But that's been Baptist doctrine and preached down through history. Accepted. It is Bible. That's the big picture, but it's right. Amen. Now we've come to a time here in the last few years where those claiming that they are Baptists are attacking that very doctrine. The fact that we believe and are expecting the trumpet to sound and to be caught out into the mysterious rapture, the bride, the church being caught home, we're expecting that, and others are saying, oh no, we got to go through the tribulation period. Tribulation period, according to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, is the day of Jacob's trouble. It's given to the Jews. It'll be a time God deals with them that'll finally bring them to recognize that Jesus was Messiah, that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Jewish Messiah also. Amen. That'll be the result of the tribulation period. If you want to know how the nations line up today, you ought to read chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14 of the book of Zechariah, not a long book, and you'll find the nations gathered at the end time against Jerusalem. What you're watching in the news right now is building. Last Sunday when I mentioned World War III, it seems to have built even more this week. Persia, Iran, top of the list, heading up under would be Russia, and Turkey and Syria and all those nations we know now are gathering. We often speak of ourselves as being part of the West and so forth. London, England and so forth. That's okay. But what I'm saying is that crowd is being gathered and you're seeing that in the news. Now that's been long time doctrine. You go back as far as some of the older preachers that you could name. J. Frank Norris, George Truett, finally in his latter years, came to this truth also. Some of the oldest Baptist names you could mention came around to realize the Bible was not teaching that things was getting better, but they were getting worse. And they would finally wind up, just like we talk about the Battle of Armageddon, yes, that's ahead. Even Joe Biden mentioned it in one of his brighter moments. Anyway, that's terminology anymore. We're heading that way. But now there is a messing with this doctrine to say, oh no pre-trib rapture, we've got to go through the tribulation period. Now there's no joy in that. The Bible calls the rapture the blessed hope. It wouldn't be a blessed hope if you got to go through the tribulation period and fight with the Antichrist through that and all that's described. No, that's the day of Jacob's trouble. So that's a doctrine that's under attack now, isn't it, Brother Morgan? You're hearing that. And here's one of the things they say. They say, well, the pre-trib rapture was never taught in the early years. Yes, it was. It's taught right out of the Bible. It's taught when Paul wrote the letters to the church at Thessalonica. Both of them reference that. Now, preachers used to not preach that. Here's the truth. more and more as we get nearer and nearer the last days, the more and more the rapture has been preached. Spurgeon didn't preach it much. He didn't preach against it. It was like the Lord said, it's far enough away, emphasize something else now. And as it gets closer, we'll have the preachers begin to emphasize the rapture. And I think that's true. But I come across an old note in my Bible, and I'm just trying to work to where I can get around to read it to you. Because of this thing where they say, oh, you got no record that was ever taught. Well, we know it was, they blame it on Darby. What was his first name? Was it John Darby? Anyway, they blame it on him and others are starting it. No, they begin to emphasize it about the turn of the century, and it got more and more and more as we've grown. And now, I speak for myself, I can't get through a sermon without mentioning something about the second coming of Christ. It's just there, it's there, it just pops out. Now, I want to read you a note, old note. Somebody can check it out, but I don't know where you can find it or not. I'm going to read down my Bible because that's the way my notes are in pretty well in my wide margin Bible. But this has to do with proof that it was preached early on. And I'll read it best I can here in my own writing. Hard to read after it gets cold. It's long been preached on page 210 in the work of Alexander's Byzantine Apocalyptic Tradition, 1985. That's the book I'm quoting something from here. The quote has a sermon entitled The Last Times, based on the words to the Thessalonica church. The sermon entitled The Last Times, the Antichrist, which was mentioned here in 2 John verse 7, and the end of the world. This sermon was preached by Ephraim the Syrian in A.D. 306. That goes back a ways, don't it? Do you see any difference in what his sermon title was and what we preach today as premillennials, pre-trib, believers in the rapture? No, no difference. He went on to say in that sermon, he says, for all the saints and the elect of God are gathered prior to the tribulation that is to come and are taken to the Lord lest they see the confusion that is to overwhelm the world because of their, the world's sins. We are in that age of confusion. Here's a man, preached this sermon back in 306, somewhere between 306 and 373, his lifespan. He was preaching just what good preachers are preaching today, out of the same word of God. Now, don't give me this stuff that we can't show you a record going back. That's as plain as you could get it. He says the time's coming. He's going to pick up his saints, going to get them out of the world before they see all the confusion that's going to come because of the world's sins. Does that fit what you're hearing in the news today? Sure it does. Sure it does. So what am I saying? This quote was found and is recorded in the 6th century, though it was spoken in the 3rd, there's recordings, or not recordings, it's written, quotes found in 4 different 6th century Latin manuscripts. Now, for you, Brother John here, and John Sawyer here, and Brother Morgan, and Brother Gillum, several of you different ones, you know what I'm talking about when you study back on this stuff. Brother Sawyer done a great job on this kind of stuff back in the history of the Bible. And I thank God when I see some. I already believe that. You couldn't change my belief on that. But it braces me up to see when I got proof like that. Do you think what we're preaching today has been preached for almost 2,000 years? And now we've moved to the last times when this preacher said the confusion. We're in the age of confusion now. That the confusion would be so great that God was going to take his saints out before the worst of it. Who's a saint? You've been born again? You're a saint. A saint's not some kind of concrete image in front of some church building. A saint is a born again, saved person that's believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I sometimes hear the Catholic Church talk about somebody going to be made a saint. What a joke. If you've been born again, you are a saint. You're Saint Bill. You're Saint Mary. If you're saved. If you're not, it don't matter what some church rules. That don't make a bit of difference. Do you understand that? Not plaster saints, but flesh and blood people that are born again by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a saint. So it's amazing. Well, they were finally awarded sainthood. By who? By whose authority? What a joke. What a real joke. But this is not a joke. I just read you something out of history that tells you this has been going on a long time. Don't give up hope. Don't sell out. Somebody comes to you and they don't have this doctrine, do what John said. Don't let them in and don't bid them Godspeed. Because they're wrong. And you don't want to be a partaker, as he says, of their evil deeds. Okay? All right, Brother Smith, thank you. All right, 8:37, not too bad. It looked thinner than that, but we still got people returning. A few minutes and the church service will get started.